Owners of a direct care practice are more likely to experience higher job satisfaction than the insurance-based practice, and it's no wonder why. Direct care is independent of insurance. Patients pay the doctor directly for their expertise. The doctor gets full autonomy in how they care for patients and how they get paid. We've chosen this path for the love of medicine. This is the direct care way. By listening to this podcast, you may even start to believe that you too can have a successful direct care practice. Come listen with an open mind as I share my personal journey on how I pivoted from an insurance-based practice to direct care right in the middle of the pandemic and the valuable lessons along the way. This podcast may be the very thing you need to revitalize your medical practice. I'm your host, owner of a direct care podiatry practice, Dr. T. Nguyen. Are you someone who's afraid of success? Now listen, the first time I've heard of people talking about being afraid of succeeding, it kind of blew my mind because here I am trying to strive what I want to define as successful, and I have no fears about it. But from talking to other people who are high income earners, highly powered, brilliant people, people who can solve problems for a lot of other people, I've met quite a few who are afraid of succeeding. And it kind of blows my mind. And this is what that looks like. So maybe we don't know what that even means. I was talking to a nail technician getting my manicure. I'll talk about the three different times I got butchered in my manicures on a different episode. But this last one was really amazing. And I said, you know, the nail service industry needs a lot of help. Considering all of my personal bad experiences and the people who come to my office for their bad pedicures, there's a lot of improvement that could be done in that industry. And so I said to her after I received an excellent service, I said, have you thought about expanding or are you at capacity? And she was telling me that she was kind of at capacity and she also didn't want to refuse new clients. And then I was like, that seems kind of contradictory. You're at capacity, but you don't want to refuse clients, but you still have room to grow. Like you still want to make money, right? So I started asking her, like, what do you mean? Why don't you want to put an ad out? Because her business is predominantly word of mouth. She doesn't do any ads, maybe some light social media, but people know about her because she's been in the industry for 15 plus years. And the thing was, she's afraid to grow. But she was also complaining that she has small children. And she has to drive 45 minutes to and from work, depending on the traffic. If there's traffic, it could be in 90 minutes easily. She opens on the weekends. She is running out of time. She doesn't know if she has to balance life exclusively with her business. Because if you don't work, the mentality is you don't make money. And if you're not working hard, then you're also not making money. That's the mentality most of us have, right? And then the alternative side is her children are only going to be small for so long before they don't want to be around their parents anymore. And for me, with a five-year-old, I'm hanging on to every single day, remembering that there comes an age where they don't want to be with us anymore. So for my nail tech, love her, understand her. I know where she's coming from. She's afraid to be successful in the sense of gaining more clients because she's already running thin. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're running thin, you are pretty full, maybe at capacity, but you're struggling to have a work-life balance, it might be that you need to raise your prices. And for some, raising your prices is very scary. You don't want to let go or feel like you're abandoning patients. Just like my nail tech here, she didn't want to make it a thing or a point of friction for clients who have been loyal to her for 15 years. And I said, it doesn't have to be that you raise all of your prices all at once. There are workarounds. And at that moment, I realized that a lot of us think in black and white. We think in success is going to happen overnight. We don't see things as a transition, as a growth period. So if you're struggling in your work-life balance, here's a couple things to consider. First, if you are at capacity, you might need to raise your prices. And how do you raise your prices? You raise your prices for new clients or new patients. You set the standard and say, these are the new prices for new clients, and then you're making more already. The second thing to think about is your life or the season of life that you're currently in. If you have small ones or you have life circumstances that requires your attention, it's okay to take a break from your business in the sense that you have to just kind of reprioritize what's important for you at that moment. Yes, our business generates income, but this is the opportunity to also think about creative ways to make more by working less, especially if you're struggling with that work-life balance. And part of the solution is just raising your prices. The other part is recognizing that if you have some kind of fear around success, how do we solve that puzzle? So let's say you put out an ad and you think that suddenly you're going to be overly booked and you're not going to be able to see new patients or new clients. Now you have to refuse them because you can't serve them. So how do you solve that problem? Well, in that scenario, you just take it a day at a time. Put out your ads and see what happens. Is it actually going to generate a full clinic within the week of putting out the ads? Probably not. It's probably still going to take time from you producing ads, promotion, marketing, things like that, that can be a really low budget before you get at capacity. So take it from me, from somebody who has spent thousands on thousands of dollars in marketing. There has not been one thing that has caused my practice to be completely full within the week. It takes time. And as you know, I'm early in my practice. And so I've had my practice open for 5 years and I'm constantly marketing. But that's the thing about marketing is that you have to do it constantly. It's not just the one time you put out the ad or you put out a social media post or you write an article. It's ongoing work. It's ongoing refinement about the types of services you offer, how you can help people, and the results that you're producing for them. So marketing takes time, and if you want to gain your time back, you have to make more money. In order to make more money, you either need to raise your prices or gain new clients. If you want more of freedom in your practice, you have to start looking at potential areas where you can outsource some of the work to somebody who doesn't require a medical degree to do the work and produce the results that you offer within your service industries. So for example, for podiatry, I think in my state, I can't hire a mid-level like a PA or an NP. So what's an alternative or a cheaper way to produce a service that I don't have to do? That would be a medical assistant. So let's say shockwave therapy, laser therapy. Those are modalities that does not require a medical license that I provide as a service after I perform the assessment, the diagnosis, and offer the treatment plan. So that gets me hands off of my time, and then my staff can take over. Even things like orthotic dispensing, I don't have to really be there. I can be in the periphery if patients have questions, but my staff is trained to do stuff, so I can do higher income generating things. So that's one way. If you are a specialty that can hire a physician's assistant or a PA, then you're going to think about things that they can do that is within their scope of practice, that you can oversee so that you start to do less and still generate more. The argument might be, well, you have to pay for these medical assistants, PAs, and NPs. Yes, you do, but what is the trade-off? If you're able to free up some of your time to generate more income by seeing higher complexity problems, patients, things like that, then it's worth the investment. So if you're paying your medical assistant $20 an hour, who is performing a treatment that you can generate $200 from, you're really making a positive $180 without you having to do the work. You see what I mean there? So business ownership is problem solving at every single level. So whatever it is you're feeling right now in your business, whether it's the fear of failure or the fear of success, there is a level of discomfort that we have to get used to and recognize that that's what it takes to expand and grow our time and grow our profit margins. So that was a conversation I had with my nail tech. Gave me some insights about how people are feeling about their business. Sometimes you feel trapped because you think there are no options, or you're thinking things in black and white. You do the one thing and suddenly you're not capable of doing it anymore afterwards. And that's not really true. All of the efforts we do with marketing, it takes time to build. And when you get to that next level, to that next phase of your expansion, you're going to have a new problem to solve. Let's say you do get capacity or you do have to refuse clients. Doesn't that mean that you can hire additional staff so that you can retain that business? Or doesn't that mean you should be raising your prices because you are in that much of demand? So some things to think about in your current phase of practice. So if you are a physician in your early phases, we solve a lot of problems, but over time you get better with it. If you are a physician looking to expand and you're struggling with the idea of a work-life balance, consider raising your prices or raising prices for new clients or raising prices for new services, packages. You can repackage things so that you're producing more value, more commitment on the patient's behalf, and you're also generating the profits that's necessary to sustain your business. I know I make it sound easy. I know that it's not. But the sooner you get into taking action and then you read the results, the data, think of this like a research project. You don't really know what's going to work until you do the work. If you're somebody who's afraid of success, I'm going to ask you to journal it down. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of growing if you are struggling with the work-life balance? Whatever phase you are in your life, be it small children, taking care of a sick one, life circumstances came at you, whatever it is, but you know you need to grow. What is holding you back? Why are you holding yourself back? Are you truly afraid of success? Because if it is, let's figure out a way to solve those problems that you think you're going to encounter. Imagine all the people you can help. If you put aside your ego, your fears, whether it be fear of failure or success, put that aside and really think about the mission you have in this life. Why are you here? What is your mission? What is your purpose? Realign yourself with that purpose. Are you here to help people? Questions you can ask yourself is, how can you create a bigger impact without thinning yourself out? And some of the ways are simple, and some of the ways require a little bit more creative problem solving. A simple thing would be to raise your prices. A more complex thing is not feeling weird about raising your prices. So that's where journaling is going to help you understand where your true concerns are. If you're afraid of success, write it down. If you know you need to do something but you're afraid to do it, write it down. Write down exactly what you're thinking so you can clear your mind and get clarity about whether or not what you're feeling is actually legitimate. So if you're afraid to put out an ad, write that down. What do you think the consequences are going to be? If you put money into an ad, you think you might be overbooked. You think you might have to refuse clients. You think you will be thinned out even more with time. Write it all down. And then actually see if these concerns are real. If you put money into one ad, do you think you're going to be suddenly booked the next day, the next week? If you do, let's talk about solving some of those problems. Can you hire another staff member? Can you raise your prices? Those answers are going to help you make a decision to the next growth phase of your practice. And if it makes you feel any better, just realize you don't have to make a decision today. But do get all of your thoughts out on paper. Make it tangible and start sorting out your thoughts and start seeing the reality for what it is. If you do add more money into your marketing campaign, what is actually happening versus trying to predict a future that doesn't exist? I'm going to ask you to stop thinking in black and white or in all or none type of thinking. Those types of thoughts are not going to serve you. And if anything, they're going to hold you back from expanding. The only way that we can expand our time is to either generate more money or to hire additional support staff. I'm sure there are other ways, but those are the two that I'm going to leave you with today, and I will catch you next week. Take care.
Thank you so much for being here with me. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please like, share, and subscribe so more people like you can have access to another way of practicing medicine, the Direct Care Way. Let's connect, find my info in the show notes, and send me your questions. It might be the topic for future episodes. And lastly, if you remember nothing else, remember this: be the energy you want to attract. See you next time.